This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's all about transitions and finger pointing. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Let's dive into the politics of the day that affect you and me. What is buzzworthy? Buzzworthy is this, a shakeup with the way the transition is happening for Donald Trump, more names emerging, more specifics on it. Also, word on immigration coming up on our show tomorrow. We'll speak with Roy Beck, who is the CEO of Numbers USA and has spoken to the president-elect about immigration. Remember building the wall and what does all that look like, and is there going to be anything in place right before he becomes president, or what happens there? The vice president is now in charge of the transition team, so what new has happened? There's been a couple of things that happened. Chris Christie is definitely out of the running for anything, because when he was in New Jersey, he, as an attorney general, he put Jared Kushner's father in prison for a year, prosecuted him. So Jared Kushner is married to Ivanka Trump. Only makes sense that he wouldn't be high on the welcome list any longer as far as any kind of position with the Trump team in any way. So what we do know is that Rudy Giuliani keeps getting mentioned as Secretary of State. That looks like the position that he will fall into, not, as some people thought, the Attorney General. Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, some of you listening to us in Alabama, is mentioned as a possible Attorney General. And also he pops up on the list for Defense Secretary. Campaign Finance Chair Steve Manchin is a possible pick for Treasury Secretary. So I'm just going to throw a few out for you. And it makes sense in one sense because of what his background is. The economic plan that they're working on is trying to get the biggest tax bill passed, the biggest tax changes, they say, since Reagan. So in the first 100 days of the Trump presidency, this will be something to look for. And that's why I say it makes sense that he would be in that position. Who else is being considered? Ben Carson was a name we kept hearing about, but Ben Carson said that he's not going to be part of the cabinet. He said the way that he's leaning is to work from outside and not from inside, so he doesn't want to be in that cabinet. He doesn't want to be in a cabinet slot, so you can pull his name out of the running for anything that would fit in there. And Jacob was former Congressman Mike Rogers from Michigan, worked on national security issues for the transition team, announced that he was leaving on Tuesday. He said it was a privilege to prepare and advise the policy personnel and agency, team on all aspects of national security, but that was it. He was done, and he was somebody that Chris Christie pulled into the lot. I have to tell you this, that there was some shock during the day at the Oklahoma City airport. There was a sniper. It looks like he had a specific target in mind, but at the time, nobody knew what was happening. They closed the airport down. Flights that were coming, flights that were leaving, you had people that were stuck on airplanes for hours on the ground because they didn't feel it was safe to land anyone until they knew what was going on, until they found the gunman. There was a pool of blood, and there was a victim who was struck and injured. Michael Winchester later died. He was shot walking between a crowded terminal and the airport employee parking lot. His son is an NFL football player for the Kansas City Chiefs. I can only imagine how awful that phone call was. Southwest Airlines immediately said that they were terribly sorry and wanted to express their condolences to the family. He was injured, and then he later died from those injuries. The upshot is it's a pretty small airport, but a pretty busy airport, 7,000, 8,000 passengers for the airlines that come out of there, and they had it shut down for hours. Eventually found the shooter. He was found in another parking lot. It looks like from an apparent, he was dead from a gunshot wound from an apparent self-inflicted wound. As to what happened, you know, as to why that happened, any of the details of that, we do not know why he, we do not know why the guy was targeted, what that was about, but I'm sure those details will come out in the next couple of days. But pretty scary, because when you're talking about hours being shut down, not really knowing what was happening there, you had a lot of people coming in and out, like I said, stuck on airplanes on the tarmac. Creme de la Creme joins us now from Mississippi. How are you?
Fine. Howdy, howdy, howdy there.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. A lot of things happening.
Yeah, well, I didn't see you at the Trump After V party there in Trump Tower. I kind of missed you Saturday night. He started at around 11:20, and he opened it up, what, largest flat screen I've seen. I think it was even larger than the one in Dallas Stadium.
Big.
And then, you know, well, he had this Southern Choir there. First he started out with SNL's opening skit, and when it shut down, the Southern Choir started to open, and I'll see if I can't do my best. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Trump. He has trampled out the liberal with promise of imprisoning the corrupt. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Come on, everybody, together now.
Oh, that was clever. You're clever. Yeah, it's, I mean, can you believe it? This is now we're talking about less than 70 days. So pretty interesting.
Well, see, I kind of heard that on Veterans Day, and you know I'm a vet. You know, there's several ways of becoming a vet, you know, through combat conflicts or, you know, stationed in an embassy that gets attacked. But as a vet, I just want to congratulate the latest veterans of this country. The greatest battle fought for yet, they saved the future in just one battle by ensuring a constitutionalist Supreme Court. You know, everyone that voted, you're veterans too, in my eyes.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I think that's the whole thing. The people who voted, if you want to protest, if you want to celebrate, I think that's one thing. I think it's sad that you've got people who are some of those protesters, people who didn't even vote. Give me a break. You've got to vote. If you're eligible, vote.
I'll try to talk more tomorrow about all this betting and whatnot, but if anybody wants to know my feelings, they should have listened to the first hour of Mark Levin tonight.
Well, I didn't catch Levin. He was talking about the vetting and who's coming in and out. We'll talk more about that. Thanks, Creme de la Creme. Hang with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine, and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with a trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification, and our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
From the pages of the Bible comes a terrifying account of an ancient beast that was half man, half demon. It is returned in the best-selling novel, Nephilim, by L.A. Marzulli. Indiegogo presents you with an opportunity to get involved in making this supernatural novel into a major motion picture. Join journalist Mac McKenzie as he travels halfway around the world to uncover the truth about aliens and demons. Join our Indiegogo campaign to get Nephilim made into a movie. Go to Indiegogo.com, hashtag Nephilim.
A train that's moving slow, in a world that only knows just what it means to be a working. We're all taken when we're done. So what's the point of running now when you'll be outrun? Where you are, is it where you are?
All right, we're rocking from coast to coast, jumping through a couple of different hoops with what's going on with the Trump cabinet, how it's shaping up, what else is going on in Washington, D.C. I thought this was interesting. Sonia Sotomayor, who's on the Supreme Court, we know there's going to be a Supreme Court appointment, at least one new judge. I think there's going to be several. But to replace Scalia would be the Supreme Court replacement. Who's that going to be? But I thought it was interesting. She said, we can't afford for a president to fail. And bravo for those comments. She's, you know, she kind of walked that fine line. She said she hopes for his success. And those who disagree with him shouldn't abandon their values. She says, I'm going to demur from answering the question that way, because she was, of course, asked a million times about it. I thought this was the great part. We can't afford for a president to fail. It's true that we have to support that which he does, which is right, and help guide those right decisions. So there you go. The Supreme Court has been short a ninth justice since Scalia's death in February. And we know what's happened with Obama. I mean, that was a moot point. There wasn't going to be a judge. We've talked about that with a lot of insiders when it happened. But Judge Merrick Garland, the Senate Republicans who didn't have hearings or vote on his selection. So Trump has promised to appoint conservatives in line with Scalia that would succeed him. And look for that to be something that happens in those first, like probably immediately, in the first 100 days. That's going to be something that will be high on the list. Immigration will be right off the bat. That's going to be something that's going to happen right away. That discussion, the conversation about the wall and getting that going, that's going to happen also pretty fast. I would think there's not going to be any heel dragging there. It's already being discussed. I've already said this a few times, but I'll mention it again. We're going to have a conversation with Roy Beck, CEO of Numbers USA. He's advised the president-elect on immigration policy, so we'll chat with him on our next show and fire that conversation up for sure. The part of the what I say is buzzworthy, what's happening around the nation, as far as besides talking about Trump and the transition and what are going to be the first things that are going to happen in the first 100 days. And I guess this would fall into that category, actually. One of the heavy concerns for many of us, and you know I've sounded off on this, is what's happening with health care, the unaffordability of health care. Jonathan Gruber, who's one of the architects of Obama's Affordable Care Act, caused a big stink a couple of years ago, if you remember, when he was caught on tape saying the stupidity of the American voter led us to hide Obamacare's true cost from the public. And that started, of course, huge debates about the cost of Obamacare. And what I can tell you is businesses are not hiring workers. They're upset about workers and trying to insure them because their rates have gone sky high. So we know that economic growth is 2% or lower, and one of the reasons that we're having economic problems, economic growth problems, is because of the cost of Obamacare. And this is the premiums. What's happening with the premiums and what's happening to people is part of the prickly position that we're in, and one of the things that Trump said he would deal with would be the Affordable Care Act. So I would also imagine, I don't imagine, I know, that that's going to be one of the top priorities heading into the White House. And I've heard a lot of people complain about the premiums. This has just happened because they came out, premium rates came out right before the election, a couple of weeks before. Let's go to Dan in Texas. Hello, Dan in Texas.
Hello, beautiful. How are you?
Hello, I'm good.
But
how are you?
You got so thin and sexy. I need a new picture from you, babe.
I know. I am going to have new pictures done. It's funny you say that.
Good. I'll be on the list then, won't I?
Cool. You are.
Okay. Thank you, sweetheart. Now, I have an idea. I won't happen probably until the second administration, but why don't we just annex Mexico and make the border down there by the next country over, which would be, what's that? The next country over to Mexico would be...
Central America? You're talking about someplace in Central America.
Yeah, someplace like that. We've got a border with them down there somewhere where Mexico ends and another country comes in. I can't remember what it was. But anyway, we just annex Mexico and then open Mexico up to immigration and invite all the people that want to come to America like Jack and all of them to settle in Mexico. Of course, we'd all speak English, and we'll teach the Mexicans down there to speak English, and we'd have everybody under one umbrella, which would be the United States of America. We'd have a 51st state. Mexico would be the largest state in America as a country, and they would love it. They'd have welfare for the ones that can't afford to make it, SSI and Social Security, which they all want to get on anyway, and a working population that would be able to hit the ground running, as they say, blah, 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 blah. And we'd have a much larger country, and a place to bring in all kinds of people that want to settle in America, and we'll start them off as American citizens in Mexico, the one state that could be developed, blah, blah, blah. And we could purify the water down there. My God, man, we could do all kinds of things that would just revolution the world, and the rest of the world would look at us and go, oh, no. Now they could take over all of Central America and look out South America. It'd be one United States of America from Canada to the Terra del Fuego.
Yeah, Guatemala. And Guatemala is probably, Guatemala is what you're thinking of is bugging me.
Yeah.
I think it's Guatemala.
Yeah. We used to have a coffee plantation there back in the 1920s.
Wow.
Yeah,
that was a while ago. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that
My family's been in this
happens.
Country since the Revolutionary War. We fought in the Revolution that the Mount family did.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, way back.
Nice.
Way back.
There
was five brothers that came to this country, and we spread out all over the continental United States. There is one Mount family for every 250,000 Americans in this country.
How cool is that?
And we're all related.
I love it.
Yeah.
Did you do some Ancestry.com or what?
No. My Uncle George was a Mormon, and he had the Mormon book and had everybody written down.
Oh, so he knew.
Yeah, he had from Uncle Hector to whoever. I mean, he had the whole... great-grandfather's name was George Washington Mount. He was named after George Washington.
Oh, I love it.
That's how patriotic
That's cool.
You were. Well, listen... I thank you for letting me in. I'll be back for Nail the Score, and I think we should probably get a good game somewhere.
A good game. All right. Thanks, Dan in Texas. And a reminder, Nail the Score, by the way, to get us back on track, Dan and everybody listening, is Wednesday. It is Wednesday. It is not coming up in the tail end of this hour. It is Wednesday. It's been booted to Wednesday. Then we'll get it back to its normal Tuesday because I had so many people write me that they were discombobulated after the election. It made sense that we didn't do it last week, so I held off for one more week. So tomorrow we'll do it in our next show, rather. But then normally it'll get back to Tuesday, not to be incredibly confusing to everybody. So next show, not this show. How's that? Oh, by the way, somebody sent me actually a picture of this, so I'll describe it for you. It's Denver. Denver getting ready for a really big snowstorm, I think, in the middle of the week. They became the first city... U.S. city to allow pot in bars and restaurants. So if you're going to Denver, because Denver voters approved it, and they were already had pot, somebody near you could be smoking marijuana. Wait, is that in my hamburger? Wait a second. Come back here. Stay with us.
You ask me why I love it? Give me time. I'll explain. Have you seen the Kansas sunset?
All right, guys. We're ready for our four-season sunroom, and Daddy's going to get a rec room with refreshments.
Oh, no. We'll be sleeping under the stars.
Mom, what about the one with, the fun?
Nice try, little bro. It's a gym. My gym.
Hey, Grandma's getting her Four Seasons garden room. Weather tight and still like being outdoors.
Maybe a living room. Oh, no. Wait. A family hub.
Yeah!
No matter what the budget, the season, or the climate, Four Seasons sunrooms let you and your family enjoy the outdoors inside. Call now to hear more about these great offers from the premier manufacturer of sunrooms since 1975.
More reasons for Four Seasons now.
To find out more, call toll-free 800-848-6333. That's 800-848-6333.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
And it's strange to watch the things we had all fade away. It all seems so certain. It all seems so permanent. And I should know what else suspected anything was wrong. It all seems so perfect.
Once again, we're back here on America Tonight. Thanks so much for joining us. How about this dismissal of these lawsuits, these WWE lawsuits, big wins for the wrestling group, certainly, as I said, WWE. But then it's the question of what about the two wrestlers who died, a federal judge dismissing those lawsuits that were going to hold WWE's feet to the fire, so to speak, or make them, or hold them liable for the deaths of the two former wrestlers. Who better to join us than Robert Ryan, an attorney in Los Angeles. Hey, Robert, how are you? Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, I'm doing great. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So looking at what happened here in this the case of the federal judge dismissing the lawsuits, what do you think went into that decision? Because I'll add this, the families say that their deaths were caused by traumatic brain injury that they suffered in the ring. And as we know, you get slammed around pretty hard in the ring, on the floors, against the ropes, etc. So what do you think that decision, what went into that decision?
Well, you have to look upon this particular ruling in the context of the overall situation involving these groups of former WWE wrestlers who are involved in this litigation, alleging that they have suffered from what's called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is chronic brain disease caused by frequent concussions. These two particular wrestlers, Nelson Frazier and Matthew Osborne, actually had a wrongful death component to their lawsuits because they have since passed away. The majority of the former wrestlers who were involved in a class action lawsuit before the same judge are still alive, and they're alleging that they've suffered cognitive decline and other types of effects of this traumatic brain disease they say was caused by their wrestling careers. In this particular case, these two gentlemen gentleman died, and it was relatively easy for the WWE lawyers to show that their deaths had nothing to do with the allegations in the lawsuit concerning CTE, or brain damage, that in fact their deaths were attributed to, in the case of Mr. Frazier, grotesque obesity and diabetes that caused a heart attack that killed him in 2012. And with respect to Matthew Osborne, he in fact died of an accidental opiate overdose from painkillers. So in that situation, it was fairly easy for the lawyers to show that, hey, these guys' death had nothing to do with the underlying lawsuit and the allegations concerning brain damage.
Yeah, how hard is that going to be to prove in the future for others that may bring lawsuits? Because I still think there's going to be other families that we'll see in the future that will do that.
Well, it's not even in the future. I mean, there is a class action lawsuit pending before this same judge in Hartford, Connecticut, which is where WWE is based, alleging that up to 50 former wrestlers under contract to WWE are suffering now from the effects of brain damage that was caused by WWE in connection with their wrestling careers. Now, the WWE has had really good success in federal court, and particularly before this particular judge, in getting these lawsuits either greatly whittled down or outright dismissed. But there are still a number of them that are still pending, and it remains to be seen what's going to happen with respect to those lawsuits.
Yeah, and we see that in a different sense when it comes to head injuries and what's happened in the NFL, that there is a lot of attention now focused on this, and you know this from the litigating point of view because you represent people injured or killed in accidents, etc. As there's more media and more attention on that, you would think that would help maybe in some cases, depending on the sport. If we even went outside of wrestling, it may help some of these cases in the future. What do you think?
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, we had that huge settlement with the NFL and its former players, $750 million to settle claims from former players that the NFL concealed from them the degree of brain damage they were suffering as a result of repeated concussions suffered during their playing careers. These wrestlers have a little different theory. They are alleging that the effects of these concussions was concealed from them, but they're also alleging that the WWE, because it's so highly scripted, is responsible for everything that goes on in the ring because they, in a sense, tell the wrestlers what they're supposed to be doing. And if concussions is the result of that, then that should be the WWE's responsibility. That's what they're alleging. You know, I think only the heightened attention to concussions in the connection with the NFL lawsuit, and there's been one against the National Hockey League as well, I think it may overall kind of raise awareness of what these wrestlers have gone through, but up until now, it has not really translated into legal success in the courtroom before this particular judge.
Yeah. For you, I'm curious about this. I think it's terrific. I'm sure people reach out to you all the time with what's happened in different injuries, et cetera, or some of these families where their loved ones have been killed in accidents. What's it been like for you the last 15 years in refocusing your practice on those particular kinds of cases?
You know, one thing you have to realize is that traumatic brain injury is far, far more common than anybody really suspects. You know, I mean, the NFL and the lawsuit by those players' associations has brought to the forefront the idea that these repeated hits to the head can cause this chronic long-term decline. And many times people involved in relatively moderate or minor accidents, it turns out, have suffered a concussion, which is essentially a blow to the brain, and they don't really realize it. And the medical profession isn't really up on diagnosing it because oftentimes the patient themselves is not aware that they have suffered a functional decline because, after all, it's their brain that's been damaged and you don't have insight into the degree of any decline you may be suffering. So what we're doing at our practice at Kuzik Law now is we're really taking a hard look at everybody who's involved in any type of accident to make sure that these types of injuries, which are far more common than the medical profession acknowledges, don't go undiagnosed and, more importantly, don't go untreated.
Yeah, so when you do that and you work with somebody, you get the call, you talk to them, you think you have a good case, what do you tell the people who come to you that they need to do to get all their, in other words, to build the case, to get that evidence in order? What are some of the things they have to do?
Well, the first thing we do is we want to talk to the family. family members. Because, again, you know, when you're talking about the brain, people lack insight into the degree of damage they may have suffered. And so you need to talk to their spouse or their children or their parents, because many times the people around us will notice certain changes in one's behavior that misses the perspective of the person who's actually suffering from the brain injury. Then the next thing you got to do is you have to get some high-speed brain imaging that is now available from these sophisticated MRIs that can now actually diagnose damage to the soft tissues of the brain. And that can be a big help in trying to get an accurate diagnosis and also to develop treatment options to help people get rehabilitated, to get them reoriented back in the direction they were when their brain was healthy.
Yeah, boy. And that's interesting. You're right. You have to talk to the people around them. So it's depending on what happens with the case, I would imagine in the depositions that could get pretty interesting.
Well, it does, because, you know, oftentimes the person who has suffered the injury is in absolute denial that anything is wrong with them.
Yeah.
And then you have these brain studies, and then which is objective evidence, and then you have the family members or the workplace associates talking about how different the person is since the accident, and it's kind of a revelation to them that they realize now that, hey, something bad has happened to them that they were not able to perceive at the time. And that's kind of the mystery and the challenge of handling brain injury litigation.
Yeah, and I think with brain injury litigation, I think we're only going to see, and we talked about this a little bit at the beginning, I think we're going to see many more cases of that because of the awareness, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, I mean, we used to see people down on the football field, and they would say things, oh, he looked like he has his bell rung, or he's looking a little woozy, and then they put him right back in the game. Well, people look exactly like that oftentimes after car accidents. But, you know, the EMTs come, or the emergency room comes, and they're looking for visible signs of traumatic injury. And so they're not focused on what type of damage a person may have had to his brain, especially because he's not in a position at that time to report it to the medical professionals.
Yeah, boy, that's the truth. All right, Robert Ryan, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, Kay.
All right, so it's interesting. That was fascinating, you know, talking to Robert, saying that we're going to see... Of course, we're going to see many more of these cases. And to his point about, oh, he looked like he had his bell rung, and now we know just how awful that is with this CTE. And you look at the list of the former NFL players with CTE and how it just sadly continues to grow. You know, we saw the movie Concussion. I talked about it on the air. And in that movie, Mike Webster was featured and Dave Duerson's the situation was also featured. But when we saw Frank Gifford pass away at the age of 84, his wife saying that she wanted his brain to be looked at, to add him to the list. And so there certainly are some very prominent cases. Junior Seau, such a sad story with Seau at the age of 43. It is a grim list of football players with CTE. I mean, that just list continues to grow because of the number that report these symptoms of CTE. Another one is somebody who I have had the pleasure of spending some time with, Tony Dorsett, and you think of his years with the Dallas Cowboys and how people applauded his efforts, how he would plow through offensive lines, and now just how awful this disease is deteriorating him. I mean, there's some just incredibly sad, tragic stories when it comes to brain injuries and how these brain injuries are caused. And I think guys like Robert Ryan are going to find themselves handling many, many more cases of in car accidents, or whether it's on par with some of the athletes and what's happened there. All right, hang with us. Coming up next, a conversation with Tom Harris from the Climate Science Coalition. That's next.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
ProPure Water Filters, making water great again. Taste and feel the difference with state-of-the-art filter technology. Pro-1 G2.0 and Pro-Max filters are independent lab-tested to NSF standards. Choose from gravity, countertop, pitcher, shower, and inline filtration products. There's a ProPure for you. Buy risk-free today. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
You are what you eat? No, not true. You are what you can't absorb, because not absorbing nutrition leads to nutritional deficiency and degenerative diseases. Medication does not fix nutritional deficiencies, and North American soil is now 85% nutritionally depleted. That means your body is not getting the vitamins it needs from just grown foods. Introducing Protovite, the world's first and only full-spectrum protosomal supplement. Protovite is a proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. That's rapid absorption. Then Protovite liquid continues to release sustained nutrition in the stomach, intestines, and colon over a prolonged period of time. See Protovite in action. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video today at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Or call 502-410-3411. 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
President-elect Donald Trump, there's a lot of concern and a lot of interest, depending on where you fall on climate change, as to what's going to be the new policy. Climate change expert Tom Harris is the executive director of the International Climate Science Coalition. He joins us now. He's in our virtual green room, no pun intended. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. How are you, Kate?
So, first of all, tell us what's going to be Donald Trump's stance on what's happening, how much money is being pumped into climate change and these Paris Accords and all of that.
Well, hopefully he's going to start doing what he said he would do. He said he would focus on clean air and clean water. And those are the things, of course, that we control and that in some parts of the United States really need work. The trouble is, over the last few decades, actually, more and more money has gone out of the environmental clean air, clean water movement onto trying to control climate change that might someday happen. You know, one thing people don't realize is that if you actually check the records, what you find is that very little climate change is happening right now. In fact, over the last 120 years, there's only been a 0.85 degree Celsius temperature rise across the Earth, according to the UN. And if you look at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration website, you can see that the extreme weather records that are set per state are actually going down. So the whole climate issue is based on computer models of what might happen in the future. And it's interesting, Kate, because Roy Spencer, who's the expert on satellite measurements of temperature from orbit, he actually presented to Congress just a couple of months ago showing that the computer models do not match what's been happening over the last 30 years. And so he says that, this is Roy Spencer, he says that it's not a good thing to use these models for billion-dollar climate policies. So indeed, climate changes and people do need help adapting to whatever does happen, but the idea that we control it, that sounds pretty far-fetched. So I think that President-elect of Trump, it's a little hard to say, but President-elect Trump, I think that he's really on track, really, focusing on things we do control, like air and water pollution.
All right, so I agree with you on the air and water pollution. There's no question about that. We know that. We look at what's happened, like in Flint, Michigan, of course, and Trump has talked about that. Trump has talked about those things that you mentioned. This, the idea of the Paris Accord, the fact that it's got enough backing that it can, that before the election it comes out, and now you have Secretary of State John Kerry saying that he's going to do everything he can to implement the Paris Accord before Donald Trump takes office. So what happens if the if we bounce back to that and the accord goes into effect? What can Trump do with that? Because I guess the earliest date for withdrawal, I didn't realize this, isn't until 2020.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, at the very end, it says that you cannot announce your withdrawal from the Paris Agreement until 3 years after it comes into force, and it came into force on November 4th. So, and then it doesn't. Then your withdrawal does not actually take effect until a year after that. So you're right. Trump's first term would be finishing right about the time the U.S. would be pulled out of Paris if, in fact, he were to do it that way. But, you know, all of these U.N. agreements are based on something called the Framework Convention on Climate Change. That is the climate agreement that was signed by President George Bush the first in Rio in 1992. And the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change, it also has a withdrawal clause that you can withdraw within 3 years to take effect a year later. But you have to remember the FCCC, it actually came into force in 1994, and so we're way past that 3 years. So you can pull out of the Framework Convention, which is the foundation of the Paris Accord, with only 1 year's notice, effectively. And it says right here at the end of the Framework Convention, it says, and I'll read it, it says, any party that withdraws from the convention shall be considered as also having withdrawn from any protocol to which it is a party. So what that means is that the Kyoto Protocol, the Paris Agreement, all those things the U.S. would be out of if they pull out of the Framework Convention.
Yeah. What do you think the reaction to that will be?
Oh, I'm sure around the world they'd be horrified.
Yeah.
They would say, oh, the U.S. is destroying the climate, you know. But I mean, the trouble is, this Framework Convention shouldn't actually be allowed. I mean, the resolution that was passed by the Senate in 1997, the Burr-Siegel regulation, Burr-Hagel actually it was called, and what they said, and they voted 95-0 in favor of this resolution, they said the United States would not enter into any agreement that is founded on the Framework Convention if it doesn't give equal targets, you know, targets that are enforceable, targets that are real to developing nations. And Obama's just ignored that, and the Senate has not pushed back. It never should have happened that the Paris Agreement should have been approved, because it is based on the Framework Convention, and it does have an out clause for developing nations. You know, most people don't realize this. They look at the targets that are apparently applicable for India and China, and they think that they're actually going to be forced to abide by them. But there is an out clause, and it says very clearly in the Paris Agreement, and actually in all the fundamental UN documents, it says that the first and overriding priority for developing nations is poverty alleviation and development. not climate change. So if, in fact, turning off their coal stations, which is, you know, a major source of carbon dioxide emissions, if that will reduce their poverty alleviation and development, which, of course, it would, because coal is the cheapest form of power around the world, then they don't have to abide by the Paris Agreement at all. And we don't have that particular luxury. It is interesting, Kate, that in these UN treaties, like the FCCC, for example, which the Paris Agreement is based on, they're not one treaty. They're two treaties. There's one for us and one for developing nations. And for developing nations, they're entirely different rules, not just with regards to whether they actually have to do it, but also with regards to monitoring and compliance and all sorts of things. So, sadly, the Paris Agreement is very much like the Kyoto Protocol, where only about one-fifth of the world will be held to emission limits.
Wow. Yeah, that's it. And again, there goes the inequity anyway, and of course, part of the problem of that. Tom, I mentioned this at the top, that you were the executive director of the International Climate Science Coalition. Tell us about that, because when people hear it, I don't think they understand what that means.
Yeah. Well, in 2007, the New Zealand Climate Science Coalition found they were getting so much interest in their nonpartisan approach, because, you know, we have socialists as well as right-wingers in our group, and most of them are nonpartisan, that they started the International Climate Science Coalition to actually represent them at UN conferences and other things. And they brought on 25 science advisors from all over the world, from about 10 different countries. And in 2008, they brought me on as executive director, because I had, you know, been focusing on the field for quite some time. But, you know, the interesting thing is that we don't say that climate change isn't real. We don't say that it doesn't affect people. What we say is that the likelihood that we can control it is very small. So what we should do is help people adapt to climate change, you know, by helping the Africans build wells and by burying our electrical cables underground. A good example is when Hurricane Sandy hit New York City, there were areas of Manhattan that did not lose its power, its internet, its telephone. It kept everything, and it's because their cables were buried underground. So that's the kind of thing you should do to prepare for extreme weather and for climate change. Whether we can control it, that's a totally different question. But sadly, around the world, they're only spending 6% of the $1 billion a day that goes to climate finance. They're only spending 6% of it on adaptation, and we think that's a big mistake.
Right. So makes sense to me. If you're not using it toward adaptation, what are you using it toward? Where's all that money going?
Well, it's going to try to stop climate change that might happen decades in the future. And in particular, most of it's going to alternative energy like wind turbines. And, you know, that's really a problem. I have a friend who lives only a kilometer from a 62-story high wind turbine, and it's not nice. I mean, she gets this ultrasound pummeling her house day and night all the time. And, you know, so these are not without their own environmental impacts as well. And, of course, in places like California and Spain, they kill millions of birds. So, yeah, the idea that we're going to stop climate change with wind turbines is pretty far-fetched.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about that, because I spent some time in Palm Springs, and of course they have massive amount of wind turbines, and I've talked to people there that tell me about the bird problem especially.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And in fact, it's interesting. My daughter and wife were in Scotland on holidays, and they found that the Scottish eagle, which soars between the mountains in Scotland, is forecast to go extinct because that's exactly where they're putting all the wind turbines. So I don't know how that's an environmentally friendly solution.
Yeah, interesting. All right, Tom Harris, thanks so much for stopping by. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, thanks, Kate.
How confident are you in your food storage? If it was all you had to rely on, would it sustain your family? Hard times, good times, or any time, New Mana Storable Food is the proven superior choice. Learn for yourself what happened when one man ate only New Mana Storable Food for an entire month. Online at PowerPrepper.com. That's PowerPrepper.com. Experience the New Mana difference.
America-made food stores are love to eat. Yum! Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.